Well, hello, hello, friends. Welcome to the Not Your Child Road Safety Show, a show dedicated to road safety, sprinkled with entrepreneurship, with a hospitality cherry on top. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Julia Matthews, aka the Breathalyzer Girl, and owner of Not Your Child Corp, a Canadian company dedicated to, you guessed it, road safety. Check us out when you have a chance at notyourchild.com. Now, as usual, we'll start off our lovely day today with a couple feel-good songs to keep you company behind the wheel. And then we head right into our discussion section, move right back into some more feel-good music, and finally, as all good things come to an end, we close with our quote of the day. So what do you say? Stick around with me for a great show? Well, buckle up your seatbelts and let's dive into the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. Friends, remember last week we had Miss Rebecca Featherstone from Musicology? Well, we didn't get to finish our conversation, so today we have the conclusion of our in-depth conversation about Musicology, the platform for teachers of music. Stay tuned.
And here's a pretty fun one, the safety dance. Who remembers that? By Men Without Hats.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can go if we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. Say, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance. We can dance, everybody's taking the chance. It's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance. We can dance if we want to. We've got all your life in mind. As long as we abuse it, never gonna lose it. Everything will work out right. I say, we can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I say, we can dance. We can dance. Everything's out of control. But we can dance. We can dance. We're doing it from pole to pole. But we can dance. We can dance. Everybody look at your hands. But we can dance. We can dance, everybody's taking a chance. Well, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance. Well, it's safe to dance. Well, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance. It's safe to dance. Well, it's safe to dance. It's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance. Oh, it's safe to dance.
And friends, today, as mentioned before, we have a very interesting guest with us. The owner and founder of Musicology, Miss Rebecca Featherstone. Now, Rebecca graduated Mohawk College for Applied Arts, and she also graduated McMaster University. But with McMaster University, she graduated with a BA, Bachelor of Arts in Music, in 2002. And Rebecca has been a piano teacher for over 20 years.
But okay, let me just play a little devil's advocate here because of this. Now, I started piano when I was about 7 mm-hmm. years old, and I did not appreciate it at all because it was one of those have to do activities type of things. Yeah. It was kind of forced upon us. So, you know, they did the best that they can. There's no parenting book, right? But yeah. I only went to grade 8. Because as soon as I was able to stop, I was like, that's it. Now I regret that I stopped. I regret it totally, especially when I see other people playing it. And just as a tangent, I actually downloaded the Flowkey app to try it, and it wasn't really that helpful to me, but certain things happen anyhow. But certain things happen in a lesson, a piano lesson, that I'm wondering how instructors manage online. Like, for instance, like, we would get slapped on our wrists if our wrists were too high. Say our wrists were too high, they'll slap us on our wrists. If we can't find middle C, they'll place our foot place our thumbs on middle C. Like, say when we start to slouch, you know, like kids do, you know, they tap your back or like, you know, they look at where your feet are placed, you know, the proper, you know, posture at the piano, at the piano stool. So maybe because I'm old school or because it's just a long time ago, but there are bad habits that can be picked up and corrected instantly by the instructor. like posture, like I was just saying, you know, because people are learning the new habits, so you know, you can pick up bad ones. So how do you find instructors like cope with this when they're not physically there, you know, so you're
Yeah,
not
so
practicing bad things? Yeah, go ahead, I'm listening.
I think that the big thing that stands out to me here is the word physical.
Right.
So you're talking about touching the wrist, placing the wrist, touching the back, slapping the wrist. All of those things are physical. They're not using words. And
Right.
what teachers have found while teaching online is that you have to be much more audible. So you have to be vocal, you have to use your words. The kids have to listen to your words and then process that in their head and make that physical for themselves. So
You
it's
know
a
what? That
really
makes
great
sense.
listening skill. And sometimes, you know, when I hire new teachers, I'll often use them to teach my children as like training sessions. And one of the teachers last week was teaching my 4-year-old, and she was like getting frustrated. She's like, "Oh my God, this is so hard." Because she's like, "Put your hands here, put them here," you know? And I'm like, "No, you're doing great. Like you have to, you just get used to using your words, and it's so good for the kids because they are learning to listen, and so many kids have listening problems."
True. No, you're right. You're right about that. You're right about that. And you know what? It was a different time when
Yeah,
I
and
grew up. My music teacher had no, she didn't have very much words. So
she probably didn't have a lot of words. And you know, then in addition to like, you know, finding the right hand position, like middle C and stuff like that, we have a virtual keyboard that it can be played on both sides. So you can ask when I'm teaching very new students, like where the group of two black keys are, or the group of three, I'll ask them to actually play it on their computer or iPad, or you can hook up MIDI. So you can hook up a digital piano and you can see the keys light up. And you can make it a game until, and I've had no problems with teaching notes or hand positions. And having the laptop or iPad at a distance from the students, like on the side, so you can see their body, and you just have to be vocal, like, "Hey, is your what's wrong with your back? You know, you've got a mountain on it. Sit up."
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're
And
right.
that's
And
where
you
the
know what?
audio comes into play too, because if the student's playing and they're slouching, and I say, "Sit up straight, stop slouching," they're not going to hear me on Zoom, but on Musicology, my audio still comes through. So they look over and they're like, "Okay, whatever, I'll sit up."
Okay, now I see. Now, gee, huh? Now you're giving me hope now, thinking that maybe I can go back into my lessons. But yeah, wow, that is yeah, that's amazing. I got it. That's amazing. I'm gonna talk to you after about trying that. That's really that's re and you know what? The world changes. So, you know, teachers can't say, okay, this is the way how we've always done it with the book and with the stickers and with so you know, they have to be able to evolve. And I mean, they are evolving because we're getting younger teachers, right? That grew up basically with these devices. So it's different, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's the biggest thing that I've seen. The biggest challenge is that, you know, just general human, oh, what's the word? Personality is that they don't like change. Nobody really likes change. I like change. That's my thing. But I thrive on change. I'm like, "Oh, this is getting too stagnant. I need to change it." But people are just very comfortable staying where they are. And they can't relate to the other people. They can't relate to the kids. But you got to get past that if you want to be a good teacher. When I was in university, I had a great pedagogy teacher who told me that you need to bring your personality to the level of your student. So if your student is a high personality, if they have a lot of energy, you need to have a lot of energy, regardless if you feel like it or not. If they're low energy and quiet and shy, you need to be shy to match that, because then they feel comfortable. So you become a bit of like a chameleon in that when you're a teacher.
Which is a great skill, and which is a skill that you definitely need in meeting people and doing business. So it is very transferable.
Yes, definitely. And it's reading people, learning to read them, learning the psychology about them, and asking questions about other people, just being
Just
inquisitive.
being inquisitive. Exactly. Oh my goodness. It's, you said a lot in a very few words, Rebecca. That is 100% true. And it shows your heart of being an educator as well, because you have something that you're imparting to people. It's not for them, and it's going to benefit them, but it's not for them to change, especially when they're kids. You have to get to their level to get them to understand what you're trying to communicate. If not, if you don't care about communicating, then you might as well be talking to a wall, right? But you're dealing with actual people. So that what you said, it means so much, because speaking to other teachers too, that is the crux of being a good educator, caring that they're actually receiving the information and changing yourself in order to make the information more malleable, right? And digestible to them. So definitely, definitely. You don't, and you know what? My mother used to always say, you don't parent a child the same at every age. How you parent a child at 5 years old is different than how you do at 10, how you do at 16, 20, So what you're saying is you're
She's
being
a
a
wise
chameleon.
woman.
Yeah, being a chameleon is definitely is wow, that's good.
We'll be right back.
All the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. I remember one year my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, oh, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car. We headed downtown to the Gallery Mall. My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first, I just turned up my nose. She said, "What's wrong? This shirt costs $20. I said, "Mom, the shirt is plaid with a butterfly collar." The next half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963, and then she lost her mind and did the ultimate. I asked her for Adidas and she bought me Zips. I said, "Mom, what are you doing? You ruined my rep." She said, "You're only 16, you don't have a rep yet." I said, "Mom, let's put these clothes back, please." She said, "No, you go to school to learn, not for a fashion show." I said, "This isn't Shine or Not. Come on, Mom, I'm not Bowser. Mom, please put back the bell-bottom Brady Bunch trousers. But if you don't want to, I can live with that. But you gotta put back the double-knit reversible slacks." She wasn't with it, everything stayed the same. Inevitably, the first day of school came. I thought I could get over. I tried to play sick, but my mom said, "No, no way, forget it." There was nothing I could do. I tried to relax, I got dressed up in those ancient artifacts. And when I walked into school, it was just as I thought. The kids were cracking up, laughing at the clothes mom bought. And those who weren't laughing still had a ball, cause they were pointing and whispering as I walked down the hall. I got home and told my mom how my day went. She said, "If they were laughing, you don't need them, cause they're not good friends." For the next 6 hours, I tried to explain to my mom that I was gonna have to go through this about 200 more times. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue, parents just don't understand. Okay, here's the situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation and they left the keys to the brand new Porsche. Were they mine? Well, of course not. I'll just take it for a little spin and maybe show it off to a couple of friends. I'll just cruise it around the neighborhood. Well, maybe I should. Yeah, of course I should. Pay attention, here's the thick of the plot. I pulled up to the corner at the end of my block, and that's when I saw this beautiful girly girl walking. I picked up my car phone to perpetrate like I was talking. You should have seen this girl's bodily dimensions. I honked my horn just to get her attention. She said, "Was that for me?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why?" I said, "Come on and take a ride with a hell of a guy." She said, "How do I know you're not sick? You could be some deranged lunatic." I said, "Come on, Tuts, my name is the Prince. Besides, would a lunatic have a Porsche like this?" She agreed and we were on our way. She was looking very good, but so was I, must say. Word. We hit McDonald's, pulled into the drive. We ordered two Big Macs
and two large fries for Coke. She kicked the shoes off onto the floor. She said, drive fast, speed turns me on. She put a hand on my knee, I put my foot on the gas. We almost got whiplash, I took off so fast. The sunroof was open, the music was high, and this girl's hand was steadily moving up my thigh. She had opened up three buttons on her shirt so far. I guess that's why I didn't notice that police car. We're doing 90 in my mom's new Porsche. And to make this long story short, when the cop pulled me over, I was scared as hell. I said, I don't have a license, but I drive very well, officer. I almost had a heart attack that day. Come to find out the girl was a 12-year-old runaway. I was arrested, the car was impounded. There was no way for me to avoid being grounded. My parents had to come off of vacation to get me. I'd rather be in jail than to have my father hit me. My parents walked in and I got my grip. I said, Mom, Dad, how was your trip? They didn't speak. I said, I want to plead my case. But my father just shoved me in the car by my face. That was a hard ride home. I don't know how I survived it. They took turns. One would beat me while the other one was driving. I can't believe it. I just made a mistake. Well, parents are the same no matter time, no place. So to you other kids all across the land, take it from me. Parents just don't understand.
bit of a turn. In my research, I saw that you went to Jamaica when you were 16 to teach piano. But I like the picture. The picture looked very like very rural Jamaica. So I want to know, where did you go and how did that experience come about?
You know, I can't remember the village that we went to, the name of it. Yes. If you had asked me this before, I would have asked my parents.
That's okay.
Ocho Rios area. And, you know, that trip was transformational.
Right.
We collected. So my dad owns a travel agency. Mm-hmm. And he had a friend that had gone to Jamaica every year. Her father was actually the founder of Blue Mountain Coffee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so she would go down there and she would bring stuff to the schools, mm-hmm. like medical supplies and school supplies. And so we took that over one year as like a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my very first time teaching a class. And I loved the kids. I loved everything about it. I loved the smiles on their faces.
Oh, yeah.
I loved how they had like nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't have all those like materials and stuff, and they were so happy. And there's kind of like the nature schools we have here that are very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just a great, great experience. And is that where your background is from?
Yeah, I'm from Jamaica. But when I looked at the, picture, I thought, that must be in the country. It looks like a primary school in St. Anne, the uniform. But So when I saw it, I was looking, I was trying to figure out which parish was this, because I know it was in Kingston, just by the looks of it and just the way it was set up. I know it was rural. I know it was a long time ago. So, but that's,
It was in 19, so I was 16, so that would have been 1994, 95.
Nice.
That was also the place we went to, the Duns River Falls.
Oh yeah, so that is St. Anne's then. So Duns River is actually in St. Anne's.
Oh okay. Yeah
Duns River. Duns River Falls, Ocho Rios. Ocho Rios means eight rivers, as you know, because it's Spanish. Because we actually were Spanish before the British came over and took over, colonized. But that's why Spanish is sort of kind of like a second language for us. They teach us that in school going up, and then afterwards you can learn on your own. But and a lot of Patois words, Patois, that's what we call it. It actually has a lot of Spanish in it. It has Spanish, French, and a lot of African in it. So that's why. So very interesting. So St. Anne, I knew it was, it looked like one of those primary schools that I know in St. Anne. So And funny enough, that is where my grandfather people comes from. That's where my grandfather came from St. Anne.
Oh, no.
My family goes back there all the time, and they do like health fairs and stuff like that, because there are a lot of medical people in my family. So,
small world,
Very small world, very, very small. And before the pandemic, I went home probably once a year or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
I go between Grand Cayman and Jamaica because that's where my parents are. But since the pandemic, I haven't gone. Right. But now I'm going to go. I've been wishing to go since the pandemic, but I'm in hospitality, so as soon as things open back up, I had to just hit the ground running. So soon I'll be back.
We'll have to plan a trip, huh?
Yeah, definitely. But Rebecca, tell me, how long were you in Jamaica for? And like, what was your experience there, with teaching music there? What was it like?
Well, I didn't teach music there. We just went on like sort of an expedition to bring supplies down to the schools.
Nice.
Yeah. So I wasn't even, I talked a little bit about Canada. I talked about how I play music but we didn't do any piano lessons.
Understood.
Yeah, but I would love to do that one day. I have a friend that is working on bringing music to other countries, mm-hmm. as well. And I think music should be everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. everybody should have access to it, no matter how much money. It shouldn't be just an elite activity.
Yeah. I don't know how it became that, really.
I think the 1700s, the Victoria era.
Yeah, but I mean, music has been a big part of subcultures and cultures that are not elite for, that a lot of movements came out with, like, even, well, we could talk forever. I mean, like, talking about ska and reggae and dancehall and so forth. It's yeah. It's a lot of times it's a response to what's going on, you know, socially or socioeconomically. So, yes. Yeah, but I do hear what you said. I do see what you're saying. But okay, so we know musicology is for music instructors and for, you know, for them to teach. But we know that the other side of the coin is the business of actually teaching music. So mm-hmm. can you talk to us about the feature whiteboard that you have, that feature that you that helps keep the student files together? And like, can you talk about any other features that actually help the teachers with like monetizing or, you know, keeping that side of the coin together? Right.
Yeah, the whiteboard is a really neat feature because mm-hmm. you can load all of the music into the student's room mm-hmm. In advance or during the lesson. And this just keeps it all organized. So mm-hmm. a lot of us are going digital too. Mm-hmm. And it saves money on, like, you can buy a digital license for your teachers mm-hmm. As opposed to having to buy books for everybody. Hmm. And so that's a really good business aspect for me. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. I have a licensed membership to Piano Adventures, mm-hmm. which is a great method book that's, you know, goes all the way from like age 4 and up. Yeah. If you don't want to do, you know, exam stuff. Mm-hmm. And everything's online. Yeah. So you can take a screenshot and then you just drag it over to the whiteboard and the student can draw on it too. And the whiteboard's also accessible outside of the lesson. So mm-hmm. I've had students do practice theory exams and then upload it to their room so that they can mark it outside of the lesson and then go over the errors during the lesson.
That's a very cool feature. That's very cool. Yeah. I like that. That's thinking out of the that's actually anticipating the needs of the teacher first.
Yeah.
And then putting that, you were able to do that because of the fact that you have firsthand experience with it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing too, is that, you know, I am a music teacher. I'm a piano teacher. So I designed this with that in mind. Whereas a lot of softwares are designed by business people mm-hmm. that are just trying to, you know, make a return on their investment.
Right. Right. No, but you have the insight because you're like, yes. Listen, I've dealt with this. This is a headache, and all the music teachers will know. So I appreciate that as well. I really do appreciate that.
And I also watched my young child at doing grade 1 online during school, like mm-hmm. just regular school, and watching all of his friends struggle because they were doing their classroom work on Teams, which has meant it's like the most boring platform in the world.
It really is. It really is. Like, honestly, I hope I don't get in trouble with Teams, but anytime when someone gives, first of all, it crashes my Apple computer for some reason. I don't know.
No.
But like every time I go on Teams, it's just not, maybe I should spend more time with it. That's what I tell myself, but I really do not like that platform myself. So
no, it's very new. Zoom came out first and then Teams, it was like 2018 or something it came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, like there's just no features for kids. So the poor teachers on the other end are using these platforms that are built for business meetings and they're just performing like monkeys and they're so exhausted.
Because
they can't just take a break and be like, okay, like show me this feature. Like we have musical notation notes that you can move around and build melodies or build like chords or scales, whatever you want. And so you can sit and take a breath while the student is doing their work on the screen for you.
You know what? With all these features, it might even be something where producers and musicians from afar use to collaborate instead of them flying into LA to do a song together or something. Like maybe that I see so much potential for this is really great. It's really great, Rebecca. I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you, Julia.
It's a lot. You can go so many places with this. So many.
Yeah.
But so tell us where can people find out about musicology? Like give us your handles and the websites for everybody listening.
Yeah, so our website is musicology.ca mm-hmm. and you can register for a free trial there for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And we are also on Instagram at Musicology app. We're on TikTok TikTok at Musicology App and LinkedIn as well. You just basically Google Musicology App.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but you're pretty active on Instagram too. So people look up Musicology App. Musicology App. Just one word. Just look that up. And you'll see Rebecca. And, you know, you don't think that, hey, you know, I really want to get my kid into piano, but I can't travel so far to, you know, this one has soccer. This is an easy solution for you. Musicology App. Check out Rebecca. And you've heard her. She cares. And she will actually care about your child, you know, learning what they should be learning and when they should be learning it. Now, is there anything at all, Rebecca, that's new or upcoming with Musicology that we can tell our listeners? Like, anything that we should look out for, or what's new?
We have a new update that's coming soon. It might not be very interesting, but it's certainly functional. It's a heartbeat that is going to send information quickly from student to teacher. Quicker than before, because often students will have unstable internet.
Yeah.
So this heartbeat will make that information go through, even if the wave of the internet is being wonky.
Yeah.
And then we also have a ping feature coming up where the teacher can click on their screen and it'll show a little circle on the student's screen. So that's useful for teaching and, like, you know, press this button.
Yeah.
And it goes ping.
That's awesome.
Yes, so we're always developing new things. And we listen to teachers as well. We love feedback. So you can email us anytime at info@musicology.ca mm-hmm. with things that you would like to see be put on the list that would benefit your music lessons.
Definitely. Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, Rebecca, I just wanted to say thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show and telling us about your heart's work with Musicology. And just the conversation is just great. So I really enjoyed you coming on. I really enjoyed learning more about you and about Musicology. And I wish you 100% all the best. And you deserve it. Definitely.
Thank you, Julia. And we'll plan that trip to Jamaica soon.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I'm going to talk to you right after we hang up about the harp lesson. So,
yes.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks.
And yes, another great one. Listen to the words in this one, friends. Listen to the words in this one. Here is Mike and the Mechanics with In the Living Years.
Too early, we don't. between the present and the past. We only sacrifice the future. It's the bitterness that lasts. So don't yield to the fortunes you sometimes see as fate. It may have a new perspective on a different day. And if you don't give up and don't give in, you may. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. So say, say, say.
We only carry the most reliable, highest quality breathalyzers and testers in North America and Europe. All our devices have the highest certification you'll find. They are FDA approved and TÜV certified. We don't carry good enough, we carry the best. It's a matter of pride and our company's identity. Head to notyourchild.com/driversafety and pick up some life-saving gifts. Our single-use breathalyzers make great and useful stocking stuffers to put in the pocket or glove box of the persons you love and care most about. And remember our golden rule: when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober.
Take me. traits. I'm not one God-given race. Is it because my life is 10 shades of gray? I pray all 10 fade away. Seldom praise him for the 7 days. And like his promise is true, only my faith can undo the many chances I believe would bring my life to an end. Clear blue and unconditional skies have dried the tears from my eyes. No more lonely cries. My only leading hope is for the folk who can't cope with such an enduring pain that it keeps them in the pouring rain. Who's to blame for tuning in into your own vein? What a shame you're shooting aim for someone else's brain. You claim the insane and aim to stay in time for falling prey to crime. I say the system got you victim to your own mind. Dreams are hopeless aspirations and hopes are coming true. Believe in yourself, the rest is up to me.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. I know that you're gonna have it your way or nothing at all. But I think you're moving too fast. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. I know that you're gonna have it your way.
And friends, you know we like to wind it all down for you with the quote of the day. And today's quote comes from one of my favorites. It's actually one of my favorite quotes, yeah. And it comes to us by Mr. Slavoj Zizek. I hope I'm saying his name right, because I do love his quote. And he says, if you have reasons to love someone, you do not love them. I agree with that. Here it is again. He says, if you have reasons to love someone, you do not love them. And that, friends, comes to us by Mr. Slavoj Zizek.
Well, thanks for joining us today, friends, on the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, head to notyourchild.com/radio show to submit any questions, comments, or shout-outs you want us to address on the next show. Until then, friends, I hope you continue having a lovely day. And remember our golden rule, when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober. Ciao. We'll be right back.
wish they could last forever. The rendezvous of coming together, meeting in places, the pleasure times we spent were so real, and I could feel the everlasting love coming through to my appeal. But now the time has come to mind that we must part and separate to make a